since we are a liturgical community, following a liturgical spirituality, it's probably good to at least note that we're in ordinary time. This is the first time we see the color green, and the liturgical color green, since, well, before Ash Wednesday. Now, it can look on the surface as if just go back to ordinary time, but anyone who knows the life of the church, or the inner life of the liturgy, knows that there's no such thing as just going back. You can't just ignore the fact that the Holy Spirit, we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit on Sunday to renew the face of the earth. So we don't just forget that we have passed through Lent and Easter and celebrated the greatest mysteries of our faith and then just go back to life as usual. No. Based on all that we have just completed, the whole process of the Paschal mystery, based on that, and then filled with the Holy Spirit, we go out into the world, into the ordinary world, which is no longer ordinary because the Holy Spirit is here. Now, I say we're in ordinary time, but if you look ahead to the rest of this week, today's the only green day of the whole week. Tomorrow's a feast day, Feast of the Visitation, beautiful Marian feast. And then the next day, at least here in the Philippines, is another feast day, Feast of Jesus Christ, the Eternal High Priest. And then we have some martyrs to finish out the week, so we won't have any more green. And then Sunday, we'll be celebrating the Holy Trinity. And in this parish, it'll be the fiesta. So these are just reminders to us. There's no such thing, really, as ordinary life. The life of faith is an extraordinary adventure. And it gets to be a greater adventure the further we go, because we get closer to our destination. And we're also filled with greater appreciation of what God is doing. Okay, today's readings touch on a topic that is really at the center of our religion, and really the center of all religion, sacrifice. Sacrifice. It's a topic that on which people who understand religion and worldly people differ very greatly, because this is one of the areas where religion seems to make no sense to people of the world. Now, a certain amount of sacrifice, of course, anyone can figure out that you have to make a certain amount of sacrifice just to progress in life. People go on diets, and people, you know, sacrifice for the good of their children and this sort of thing. It doesn't take faith to see that sometimes you have to forego some personal advantage for some higher good. But the problem with the worldly view is that it's limited to this worldly horizon, and there's nothing beyond it. So that limits the value of sacrifice to what worldly advantage you can get from it. It makes sense to people, even without faith, to say, give up going to a party so that you don't show up late for work the next day and risk losing your job. Okay. But it doesn't make sense to give up something that doesn't seem to benefit anybody. If I have a glass of wine, okay, no problem drinking a glass of wine. Sometimes it's even the appropriate thing to do at a wedding or something. A big glass of wine. Well, I could give that glass of wine to someone else, and that would be a sacrifice. Someone else might like it more than I do. Okay, people say that makes sense. Or I could sell it and give the money to the poor. And anyone could say, well, okay, there's some benefit in that. At least somebody's getting something out of it. But what if I were to set aside that glass of wine and say, I won't drink it till tomorrow? For the sake of the Lord, I'm going to make this sacrifice. A worldly person would say, well, what is that? That's no value. What if I were to pour out the glass of wine as a sacrifice, a libation, for the glory of God? A worldly person would say, well, what's a waste of perfectly good wine? Makes no sense at all. Now, so what I'm trying to point out here is this worldly horizon limits our understanding of the value of sacrifice. But faith, or knowing that we belong to God and that everything belongs to God opens up the possibility of the value of sacrifice to an extraordinary degree. Now, the reason I touch on this is because today's first reading is all about the value of sacrifice. It says it in many different ways. It's really a series of insights into the value of sacrifice. And it talks about works of charity, it talks about avoiding injustice, offerings before the altar, a sweet odor, a sacrifice, pay homage to the Lord, free will gifts, contributions, tithes, etc. I mean, if you look at the first reading, you see it's again and again the sacred author saying it's really a good, important, valuable thing to make offerings. Yes, it's good to make offerings that benefit the poor, but it's even a good thing to make offerings that are just for the glory of God. Let me give you a scriptural example. You know that story we read about in Holy Week when Mary comes in and pours out a huge amount of perfume on Jesus' feet. You know that passage. And well, that's seen in the from the perspective of faith as a great sacrifice. Here's a woman who just pours herself out at the feet of Jesus. It's expression of love, of selfless dedication. What does Judas say? What a waste. That's worth 300 days' wages. You could have sold that and given it to the poor. You see how the different horizon, the limited horizon of Judas, it only makes sense to him to, well, of course, it also says that he wanted the money for himself. But even if he didn't want the money for himself, the principle that everything should be for some value on an earthly level is too limited. And Jesus says, no, don't criticize her for this. This is for a higher purpose. You always have the poor with you, but me you will not always have. So there's two different levels. Okay, so today's first reading, that's what it's about. Give to the Lord. Give generously to the Lord as he has given to you. Give to the Most High as he has given to you, generously according to your means. For the Lord is one who always repays, and he will give back to you sevenfold. The principle is, we belong to God. He has given us everything out of respect to God, out of honor to God, out of gratitude to God, out of humility. We should be offering to God what we have. It's not a bribe. We're not making God give us more by giving him something. And that's what it says at the end of the reading. Don't offer God bribes. Don't think that you can manipulate God by giving a bigger donation. No. In fact, it's worse. If that's your mentality or intention, don't even do it. You think you're going to make God give you a blessing? Your sacrifice is not really a sacrifice at all. You're buying favor from God? No, don't think like that, because that's offensive to God. Make a big sacrifice, sure, but for the glory of God, out of gratitude to God, to make space in your life for God to do more. Okay, see how different it is? Then we come to the gospel, and Peter brings up this very topic. We have given up everything and followed you. We have made the sacrifice. We have let go of things that are good in themselves. It's not that we just gave up a sinful life. We gave up our livelihood. We gave up our property, our income. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, oh, what a waste. You should have been more careful with your possessions. No, he says, anyone who gives up house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, lands for my sake and for the gospel is going to receive 100 times more. In the book of Sirach, it says he will pay back sevenfold. Jesus says he'll pay back 100-fold. 100 times more. Even now, with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. So Jesus is saying this dynamic of sacrifice will benefit you both in this life and in the next. Whereas the worldly perspective is sacrifice has limited value, and if it doesn't have the value that you want it to have, well, then don't do it. Take care of yourself. But Jesus saying, no, put God first. Put God first. And that will make space for God to do more. There's no limit to what God wants for us. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants to fill us with good things. The problem is that we fill ourselves with things and we get in the way of God's plan. Very often, our problems are not that we are choosing what is bad. It's that we have misplaced priorities. We place higher value on things of lower value, and things of highest value get pushed down to the bottom of the list. And that's where we get into our disorders. That's why sacrifice helps us, because it puts things back in right order, our priorities. So there are a lot of good things. I mean, we should take care of our bodies. We should eat properly and exercise. We should support ourselves by our work and support our families. We should foster good relationships in our families and in all our friendships, yes. But once we make any of those things more important than God, misplaced priorities, and we distort and prevent God's plan from unfolding. Maybe you don't follow the sports, but people are all hyped up about the playoffs and the NBA, or about, there was a big auto race, yeah, was it yesterday or the day before, the Indianapolis 500. So people who get into these things, they really enjoy them. And when they win, it's as if this is the best thing that has ever happened to me. They jump around and scream. And that's fine. I mean, that's a lot of fun. It's nice to have things to celebrate that are just for the entertainment of it. But if we make winning the playoffs or winning the trophy or defeating the opponent the highest value of our life, you see what a waste of time that is. All that sacrifice just for a trophy? Is that really the highest thing? Is that the best we can do with our time and our efforts? No. And we can apply this same kind of evaluation to any earthly value. Yeah, it's great if people like us. It's great to get along. There's a smooth interpersonal relationship. So that's a good value. But if we, in order for people to like us, we sacrifice the truth, or we set aside our relationship with God, you see how disordered that is. Okay, there's this endless number of examples of things that we can put out of order, but the right order is put God first. Put God first. And putting God first means the willingness to let go of everything else. It doesn't mean you have to give up your house. Most people should not give up their house, because where are you going to live? Where will your children live? So don't take it as if everybody has to give up everything literally, because that's not God's will. But don't make your house more important than your God. Don't make your house your God. That's what we're getting from this. The sacrifice is, thank you, Lord, I have a house. This house is for your purposes. This property or this possession is your gift to me, and I'm going to use it as you want me to use it for your glory. Meaning serving what my own personal needs, need of my family, needs of the poor. And then there are some times when we should take things that we have and value and give them up. That's a valuable practice. That's a fact kind of fasting. There are times when we should deliberately give up or forego some good thing to train ourselves to keep our priorities straight. And it's especially good if we are taking a step against the strong attachments of our nature. That's sacrifice. If you really love shopping, well, why don't you take a day off from shopping and say, well, I won't go shopping today. For the glory of God, but to make time for prayer. Nothing wrong with shopping, but don't make it a god. Like I say, there's endless examples, but the principle of sacrifice is to is to let go of things to make space for God, to put proper priority on things, lower the things that seem so important, and lift up the Lord for the glory of God. So when we do that, boy, we're not ordinary. We're not living an ordinary life, living the extraordinary life in the Spirit.